الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على عبده محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فصل في الإيمان باليوم الآخر. Today in fact we would like to begin our discussion in belief in the last day. Some of you had to miss some classes due to circumstances that you couldn't control. So Allah musta'an, everything is recorded, so you can always refer to the recordings inshaAllah. We are of course doing the book of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. Al-Sharh. Sharh al-Mu'allif rahimahullah ta'ala fi al-kalami an al-yawm al-akhir wa aqidati ahli sunnati wal-jama'ati fi. The author, may Allah bestow his mercy upon him, initiated the talk on the last day and the belief, the creed of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning it. فقال, so he said, فصل, chapter. ومن الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بكل ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مما يكون بعد الموت. Part of belief in the last day is the belief in everything which the Prophet ﷺ said will occur after death. So we said then the last day, the belief in the last day begins from the moment a person dies. And we all know that before the actual day of resurrection, there are many other events which happen to the dead person prior to the resurrection. And these are part of our belief in the last day. Now I want to make a comment here. If you look at the word al-yawm al-akhir, you will find that on top of the alif there's a madda. You know the madda. If you have a hamza, it's a short vowel, like awwal. You don't say awwal. If you have a madda, then it's two vowels. If after the madda the letter has a shadda, then you have the long one, like waladdallin, because the lamb has a shadda, right? We have hundreds of examples, right? For example, or if after the hamza, that's or there's a hamza, either there's a hamza, like anbiya, awliya, ila akhirihi. Shu'ara. If there's a hamza or a mi or a shadda, then you elongate the vowel into two. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Right. If there isn't a hamza nor a shadda, then you cannot make it more than two. So what you people do in the salah is Ameen is wrong. Ameen is right, because it's the same as Akhir. You don't say Akhir because the Kha doesn't have a Shadda and it's not a Hamza. Ameen, if you say now, for you to say then the meme has a must have a shadda. Ameen, and it becomes a we are imams leading the people. So now you have distorted the meaning. So it's a calamity that the imams are unaware of this particular aspect here. However, we need to be aware of it, and so we don't do this long ameen. You elongate the mean up to 6 harakat, which we know from tajweed. Ameen, ma fi mushkila. But no. Ameen, no. Because ameen becomes, like the Prophet ﷺ, his adjective, as-sadiqul ameen, trustworthy. So, yani it's a very technical issue. So, al-yawm al-akhir is the same as ameen. One madda, no shadda on the next letter, no hamza, only two vowels. Can't make it longer than that. Otherwise you change the meaning. Jameel. حكم الإيمان باليوم الآخر فريضة واجب. The ruling of belief and the last day is a fariḍa and a wajib. Most of the ulama, except the ahnaf, the hanafiya, the hanafis, they hold that wajib and fariḍa are one and the same. Among the ahnaf, they make a distinction between fariḍa and wajib. And you could probably ask Dr. Yahya about the technicalities of the fiqh of this, that issue. Ala kulli hal, both indicate that this is something that you should do, you must do. وَمَرْتَبَتُهُ فِي الدِّينِ أَنَّهُ أَحَدُ أَرْكَانِ الْإِيمَانِ السِّتَّةِ. And we said the role that the belief in the last day plays in our religion is that it is one of the six pillars of faith. The five pillars of Islam are the shahada and the salah and the zakah and the siyam and hajj. The six pillars of iman are believe in
Allah,
the
last day, and then qadr.
That's five.
Qadr.
That's five.
Believe in Allah, believe in angels.
Now you said angels. The first time there were no angels, alhamdulillah. Okay, believe in Allah, the angels, the books, the last, the messengers, the last day and preordainment, the good and the bad thereof. Jameel. وَكَثِيرًا مَا يُقْرِنُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ تَعَالَى وَالْإِيمَانِ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And very often Allah Azza wa Jal, did we do this already?
We just stopped it.
Yeah, we did this. We did this one. Thank you for telling me. No problem. Let's go straight. No, actually it's only this paragraph. We began this paragraph and I'm just repeating the paragraph. The conclusion is that Allah said, we said Allah brings a relation between the belief in Allah and the last day. Because if you don't believe in the last day, you really can't worship Allah. Because you have nothing to look forward to. If you didn't believe there's accountability, there's Jahannam, there's Jannah, there's reward, then you just say, what's the point of doing any work? No need to do Salah, no need to do Salah, just have fun. Why? Because when I die, there's nothing. There's nothing afterwards. That's naturally. Even if someone believes that there is a God, if there's nothing afterwards, still. Say, man, I'm not going to worship. Right? I don't need to worship. Because there's nothing that awaits this person. So we said, that's why Allah Azza wa Jal often in the narrations, we quoted some narrations, مَكَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him say something good or remain silent. All of these emphasize the relation between belief in Allah and the last day, and that they are interrelated. If you know, belief in Allah means you believe in the last day. Belief in the last day means belief in Allah. They don't go, you know, they cannot be separated. Jameel. Now here's where we stopped. وَالْإِنسَانُ لَهُ خَمْسُ مَرَاحِلٍ. The son of Adam, the human being, has five stages. How many stages? Four? Five stages. Marhalatul Adam. The stage of non-existence. Stage of non-existence. Thumma al-haml. Then the stage of pregnancy. Thumma al-dunya. The stage of the worldly life. Thumma al-barzakh. The stage of the interval.
Barzakh?
Barzakh.
Grave.
Barzakh, grave, yes, sir. Qabr, grave, Qabr. Muhammad Ibrahim. La, Ibrahim.
You see that after death, the barzakh, you see the life.
The barzakh is a... Tawul bala. Barzakh is a barrier, is a life in between the dunya and the akhirah. Someone may, for example, they may die and they get chopped into pieces and they're burnt and they're not necessarily buried. So we don't want to confine it to a geographical location. Yes, it is the life of the people of the graves, inevitably. But it's not only that. Because there are times where a person is taken to the heaven. He's not in this different thing. So the barzakh describes everything in between. The worldly life and Yawm al-Qiyamah. Don't confine it to the graves. Wadih? And the word barzakh doesn't mean grave. Linguistically. طيب.
Worldly life and between.
Yes. So the dunya, worldly life. Thumma al-barzakh, the interval. Call it interval. I-N-T-E-R-V-A-L. Thumma al-akhirah, then the life to come. Then the life to come. How many stages? Five. Well, first, Forgot already.
Non-existent.
Second?
Pregnancy.
Huh? Did you look in the book? After pregnancy?
In the world?
Worldly. In the world, worldly life.
And then Barzakh.
Barzakh? You came at the Akhir and you spoke about the Akhirah. Ahsant. طيب. Now the Shaykh will give us some evidences for that from the Quran. Now where did we get these from? Remember, there's nothing in Islam based on, well, I think, or maybe that sounds good. Either we have an evidence for such, you know, descriptions, or if we don't have such evidences, then we cannot say that these are the stages of the human being. So let us go to the Quran. First, let us deal with the stage of non-existence. أما مرحلة العدم فقد دل عليها قوله تعالى أو دل عليها قوله تعالى because قوله is the فاعل of the فعل دل. نعم دل عليها قوله تعالى هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. Has there come a time upon man where when he was something not even mentioned, something that wasn't even mentioned, there's just nothing. Has there come a time, and this is negation affirming that this is really this is the case. There has come a time upon the son of Adam where he was something that wasn't even mentioned. He was nothing that people even mentioned. This is in Surah Al-Insan. Are we clear on that? So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّارِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. And there came a time where it was nothing. There were the angels, and in the beginning even there was Allah Azza wa Jalla, and there was nothing. There was Allah and there was nothing. Then Allah created everything. Was there any human beings? That was the stage of what? Non-existence. So this was the stage of non-existence. طيب. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And Allah also says in Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ. O humans, if you are in doubt concerning resurrection, فَأَنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِّن تُرَابٍ, then verily we have created you from dust. ثُمَّ مِّن نُطْفَةٍ, then from a sperm drop. ثُمَّ مِّن عَلَقَةٍ, then from a clot, a blood clot. ثُمَّ مِن مُضْغَى, then a chewed substance. مُضْغَى from يَمْضُغْ, to chew something. Chewed substance like a gum. مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. Actually, just to avoid philosophical explanations, let me just give you here the actual مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. Then from a clinging clot, and then from a lump of flesh, formed and unformed. And they said in the commentary below, in the footnotes, that which is incomplete, this may include what is aborted at that stage. Children that, you know, that infants that wind up being aborted, abortion, or the, you know, the mother has a delivery prior to the, you know, the development of the embryo, what have you. This may be included in that. لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. That we may show you. وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And we settle in the wombs whom we will for a specified term. ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Then we bring you out as a child, and then we develop you that you may reach your time of maturity, and among you is he who is taken early by death, who is taken in death, and among you is he who is returned to the most decrepit, meaning old age, so that he knows after once having knowledge nothing. And they say, you know, the closest thing to an infant is a very old man or a very old woman. When they start having Alzheimer's and all kinds of diseases and they don't remember anything, then they have diapers for senior citizens. Ajib, but this is as Allah described. You go through the stage as a child, then you get power strong and you're, you know, Rambo, you think you're some big shot, and then you start until you go back to the stage of children. But the difference is that unfortunately, when you were a baby, you know, your parents loved you and took care of you. However, when you become old, your children's like, this guy, man, when is he gonna die? And we've heard, you know, crazy stuff, man. Just some of these shabab today are crazy. This guy, you know, just how much money does he have in the bank? Okay, I mean, the sooner the better. And they make dua so that they can inherit their father. And some people kill their parent, they kill their father. Now he's not dying, and all this money is pending to be inherited. They just take his life. And you know, it's just crazy stuff. But this is, you know, that's why the scholars say, if you read the Quran, there's only one occasion where Allah advised the parents to look after their children in with ihsan. But all the ayat, maybe tens of them, are telling the children to take care of their parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. All the ayat are addressing it because you love your children by nature. No one has to tell you. It's something. But for the children then to love their parents, that requires reminders. Because human beings are silly and they lose patience. And they don't appreciate. That's our main problem. Lack, you know, ingratitude for Allah and for our parents and for anyone who's done us favors. We quickly forget the favor that someone has upon us. And especially this happens often with the students of knowledge and their shuyukh. You know, the sheikh would spend, you know, 30 years teaching this little guy who didn't even know how to write his name. And then as soon as he learned a few things, next thing you know, he's refuting his sheikh and telling him, you don't know anything, get out of my way, and whatever. You know, and the sheikh is like, what happened, man? This is the appreciation of the effort that was spent on you. Yeah, and you know a little bit now, so you, even if the sheikh was wrong, you must maintain a level of, you know, adab and respect with the shuyukh. And I'm not trying to say it, what we're having here does not qualify to what I'm saying now. We're a bunch of brothers sharing information with each other. I'm speaking about real scholars and real students of knowledge. We are something else. Allah understand. Anyways,
وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ.
Yes, and you see the earth barren, but when we send down upon it rain, it quivers and swells and grows something of every beautiful kind. But so this was the ayah. وَأَمَّا, this was the stage again referring to the non-existence, then the various stages. Now حَمِل, we dealt with عَدَم, مَرْحَلَةُ الْحَمِل, pregnancy.
فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَنَا يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ.
He creates you in the wombs of your mother, creation after creation, in three darknesses. Three different darknesses, three zulumat, and they have a lot of interpretation concerning this, and even today it has its scientific significance. They say the darkness of the womb and the darkness of the whatever and some other membranes that the woman has in her thing. Anyways, scientifically they have some you know, relation between this ayah and the scientific facts. Wallahu a'lam ala kulli hal. This was the marhala of what? Hamil. So we dealt with Adam, non-existence. Hamil, which is pregnancy. It comes from hamil, by the way, carrying. And so pregnancy is a woman conceiving and carrying a child in her womb. وَأَمَّا مَرْحَلَةِ الدُّنْيَا, as for the worldly stage, فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah brought you out of your mother's wombs while you knew nothing, and He gave you and He made for you the hearing and the seeing and the hearts, perhaps you may show thankfulness. So this is the dunya. You're living now, you have ears, you have eyes, you have a heart and intellect with which you're supposed to understand the deen of Allah, not reject it. Like, let me just give you an example. I was in a masjid, right there in the salah, and a guy comes next to me. Now this guy, while we're in the salah, we go for sujood. The sunnah FYI, for your information, is that you don't go to sujood until the imam is in sujood. Yani, and most of the imam, he will say Allahu Akbar while he's standing because he wants the microphone to, you know, to, for the thing to go to the microphone. Ma fi mushkila. There's a mushkila, but I'm saying that's not going to make a difference now. He should actually do it in, on his way down. Beginning on top. Once he is firm and he is in a state of sujood, this is when you go for sujood. So obviously I go to sujood later than those around me because of this aspect of the sunnah. And all of a sudden, yeah, and you know your eyes, you know the sunnah is to look at the place of sujood, but you still have the vision which you see at the side of your eyes even unintentionally. All of a sudden I see purple underwear. Purple underwear with a big old, you know, skin. This big. So now, I want to look because I want to advise. I want to advise. So I, with the side of my eye, I see this guy's back like this. Some gay purple underwear. Okay? Yeah, and disgusting. And the whole salah, he's praying like this. He finished. Now he appears that he's not a practicing person. So you have to be very delicate in the approach. Otherwise, you may lose him. He, alhamdulillah, he's praying in the first row. He's behind the imam. You don't want to turn him off. Say, hey, what is this man? From the first time I pray in the first row, this guy's going to give me a hard time. He will never come back to the masjid. So you have to be very delicate. So I said, hey, let me, you know, I'm going to think of a nice, you know, an intelligent, I guess, way to approach him. I said, as soon as finished salah, he complained about the AC. He said, man, the AC is coming. I don't know why he spoke to me English, by the way. He's not supposed to know I speak English, but qadar Allah ma shaa fa'al. He said, the AC is too much, man, on the face. I said, yes, you're right, barakallahu feek. Next time we'll turn the flaps for you, inshallah, ma fi mushkil. I said, listen, man, you know, have you ever been scuba diving? He said, scuba diving? He said, no. I said, well, okay, let me just give you an example. Let's say they told you that you were going scuba diving and they told you there's this kind of fish right now that is, you know, around in the ocean. If any time it sees any part of your skin exposed, it will bite you. And these bites may be poisonous and deadly. But you have to go. Let's say, you know, someone is drowning or there's some ship that was wrecked and you have some, and you must go down. And you know that you must cover your whole body with the, you know, diving suit in order to protect yourself. Now if you do, for sure, if you go in the water with any of your skin exposed, you will be bit. Will you go down? Or will you make sure that you wear your you know, your suit, your diving suit? He said, well, he said, is it confirmed that I will be bit? I said, yes. He said, then I will wear my suit. I said, beautiful. I said, okay, well, let me, why, you're probably wondering why am I telling you this? I said, what I'm saying is now, see how important it is to cover your body in that situation. It is more important or as important to cover your body in the salah. My friend, I didn't mean to see, but when you made sujood before me, I seen your back and your underwear. Forget about the underwear, pink, purple, anything, that's your business. But your back, according to a good number of the ulama, your salah is invalid. Your salah is invalid. Alaykum salam. I told him your salah is invalid. Yeah, because the area which is exposed here is actually between the navel and the knees. Now, pay attention, the lower back, if you go check it out on the mirror, look at your navel, then look at your back, the lower back is below the navel. Yeah, and his salah is batil. So I said, ya akhi, my advice, wear something, يعني, that at least covers, tuck in your shirt, wear a long shirt, wear a special thing for the salah. Then I told him, generally speaking, you know, if you were to meet a king, if you were to meet the king, and somebody sent you as a, you know, the ambassador of a country, will you go, you know, wearing your, you know, sports clothes, and or would you, you know, adorn yourself? He said, of course. I said, well, you know, the salah has a greater right. You're coming here to pray before Allah Azza wa Jal, who sees you. Now I gave him, you know, a 7-minute lecture. Okay? And I'm thinking that, you know, alhamdulillah, the guy seems receptive. Right? And no, you want to hear the stuff? Then when it was all done, he said, Zakallah khair. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. قال he pat me on my back. He said إنما الأعمال بالنيات and he left. Allah al-Azim. يعني it was one of them times I wanted to chase after someone, man, and you know, put him in the masjid and handcuff him and take him to the sijin. Have my own prison for. After all this, what was his fatwa? Intentions. My intention, brother, is good. My intention. This is what he's basically said to me. All this talk I said is worthless. إنما الأعمال بالنيات, brother. يعني, to see the mentality now, this is called nonsense. This is called nonsense. The human being, Allah gave him the idea, the intellect. And if he uses brain to understand the deen, it will be wonderful. All of this speech to him was إنما الأعمال بالنيات. He patted my back and he left. And I thought I did a great job. I'm like, alhamdulillah, this is good news. Then I felt disappointed. I said, what else can I do for this guy? And like him are many. Many. Anytime you bring something that he doesn't like, he will find a reason to reject it. They will find issues with it. Not because they're, you know, they have a valid reason. They just don't want to accept nasiha. So the human being, Allah gave us this sight and this intellect and this brain and this hearing so we can understand his deen. Not so every time we hear something about the truth, we find an outlet or a loophole or some reason to avoid implementing it. Is that clear? Inshallah, none of you does this. But I'm just saying that you will come across these individuals and you know, it is difficult to deal with them. Yani, subhanallah al-azim. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided us that we don't have these qualities. Inshallah, we will never have them. This was the marhalat al-dunya. وهذه المراحل هي التي عليها مدار السعادة والشقاء. Now these stages are the ones in which you are either wretched or happy and content. In which three? The one we mentioned, the dunya, the marhal of the dunya and the pregnancy. وهي دار الامتحان والبلاء. And it is the abode, it is the home, it is the residence of trials and tests. That's what we have in the dunya. كما قال تعالى الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. The one who created death and life, so he may test you who is better indeed. That is the objective. That is one of the objectives behind it. As for the interval, البرزخ, عفواً, فقال الله عنها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. And behind them, there's a partition, there's a barrier until the day they are resurrected. This is in Surah Al-Mu'minun. حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. It's just a statement that the person will say, oh Allah, let me return so I can fix up my situation, become Shaykh al-Islam, do the good stuff. Allah says it's only a word he will say. It will not be materialized. His wish will not be granted. His request will not be met. And there will be a barrier between khalas, they cannot return. Like I believe it was Sa'd ibn Mu'ad. Was it Sa'd ibn Mu'ad who died as a shaheed? I don't recall the name of the Sahabi. Anyways, Allah Azza wa Jal, the father of Abdullah ibn Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah. His father, Abdullah ibn, I don't remember his last name. The father, you know Jabir ibn Abdullah. His father, rahimahullah, radiyallahu anhu, in the ma'araka of Uhud, he told his son, who had many sisters, he said, my son, I see myself as nothing but among the first who will die tomorrow. So I leave in your trust, you know, your daughter, your sisters, and you know, you take care of them and what have you. And indeed he died. He died among the first who died in the battle of Uhud. Jabir ibn Abdullah, when Rasulullah said, tell me, if my father is in Jannah, then that I will be patient. If he's not, then I will see what I will do. He didn't want to say anything wrong, radiallahu anhu. He told him, ya Jabir, it is not Jannah, it is Jannat. It is not one garden, it is gardens. And your father has gotten the highest point in Jannah, Asab al-Firdaus. He acquired Firdaus. And Allah spoke to him directly. And he told him, ask, wish for something. And he told him, I only wish I can return to the dunya so I can be killed for your sake again. That's the only wish which he had. This is the father of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu wa anabi wa ardham. These were the Sahaba. And now which one of us will say this? Before we even die the first time, let us die there and come back, ask for a second one. Even the first time, we don't even wake up for Fajr, ya Sheikh. Ayyi sabilillah, fi sabilillah, fi sabilillah. We know some of us don't even wake up for Fajr, some of us don't even pray in Jama'ah, and some of us, Allah al-Musta'an. Which ummah is going to rise while the Muslims are in this condition? It's not going to happen. And they have the nerve, nasheed, Islamic nasheed. Brother, listen to the nasheed. This nasheed is halal. Ya Sheikh, we have all these problems right now, and you're sitting there, you know, rabbling about nasheed. When was nasheed part of Islam? Never. There was poetry, and we can never extract that from the deen. Yes, if you're a poet, mashallah, you write Islamic poetry, tafaddal. And you're a man, you can come and you know, deliver it in an acceptable fashion with a manly voice, no problem. But to become a munshid, an artist, with albums, you know, coming out every year, and the concerts being, you know, performed, and you have a fan base. This is like wicked Sami Yusuf. The Sami Yusuf, by the way, is getting worse and worse. From the time we spoke about him in the lecture of the classical hit, Wallahi al-Azim, now I don't believe. Someone made a video. They put my lousy self in the beginning of the video. And the video began with Christians having a concert. And one of the Christian singers, I don't know who he is, he was sitting there, you know, on the piano with a full band, you know, and they're praising God and Jesus. And all the Christians and the, you know, the fans are going like this, all this nonsense. And right after it, Sami Yusuf, with the piano, concert, the drummer, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. I know, and he goes like this to the crowd, and you continue, and khushu', this is khushu', this is when you got khushu' on the piano, with a drummer who looks like, you know, Bob Marley, you know, got them things, and, you know, look funky looking guy, and you have a whole, and the crowd doing the same thing the Christians are doing, and you will follow the footsteps of those who came before you. This guy has the nerve to refute people and speak about the deen, and scholars have differed on music. Because some lady named Yvonne Ridley, the lady that went to Afghanistan and she embraced Islam, she refuted him. And she made fun of these pop culture, this, you know, in Islam, and all this time being wasted for the children, and he has girls jumping, you know, ladies with hijab on the chairs, you know, waving at him. She said, what is this? And this is a revert. She's recent in Islam. He has the nerve to write a huge article refuting her, telling her, you know, this and blah blah blah, and fiqh and scholars have differed, and music is this. Yeah, Sheikh, these people, and then look at the stage we are in as an ummah. We need to produce children and the shabab, you know, who carry this deen. How will they do this if their mind is stuck on a song? It's impossible. If we don't know the book of Allah, how many times we gave ayat, and these are, you are brothers who attend the durus, how many times we give half an ayah and we don't have the other half? What did we need for those who don't come for the desk? Zip! Nothing! And so how is the ummah going to rise? I wonder why, how come we're being killed everywhere we go? Why are we being humiliated? Why? Because of us! So we need to learn the deen and stop playing games. We cannot be like everybody else. We cannot be like everyone else. We have to take this matter seriously. We have to memorize as much as we can, take this, you know, situation seriously, so that Allah Azza wa Jalla will change our condition. Otherwise, as Allah says, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَلَكُمْ إِن تَتَوَلَّوْا. If you turn away, Allah will replace you with other people, and they will not be like you. They will not be like us. And this is what's happening. Reverts coming to Islam, and they carry the da'wah. They learn the deen. The majority of the, you know, students in Medina University and Umm al-Qura, you find to be, you know, foreigners, reverts, who entered into Islam and then they took it upon themselves to learn deen. The Muslims are, you know, illa man rahim Allah, of course, busy with the dunya. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to help us change our condition. Wallahi, it's sad. طيب, وأما المرحلة الآخرة, the last stage, فهي غاية المراحل. This is the epitome of stages. This is the finality. You know, you go through the stage of non-existence, into the stage of pregnancy, into the stage of the worldly life, into the stage of the barzakh, the interval. Then the final stage is that of the life to come. قال الله تعالى بعد ذكر المراحل. Then Allah mentioned after mentioning all the stages. ثم إنكم بعد ذلك ميتون. ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون. Then verily thereafter you shall die, or you are dead actually. And then thereafter on the day of resurrection you will be resurrected. And this is Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayat 15 and 16. Then these are the five stages: non-existence, pregnancy, worldly life, barzakh, and the life to come, the last day. وقوله رحمه الله الإيمان بكل ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مما يكون بعد الموت. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله said, then part of the belief in the last day is belief, the belief in everything which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke about after death. And we said there are many things, many events that will occur between the death of a person and his resurrection on the day of resurrection. All of these are part of our belief in the last day. Why? Because you will find so-called Muslims who deny everything related to what happens after death. They don't believe in the punishment of the grave, and they don't believe in, you know, anything associated with that. All of this they reject, even though it's in the Quran and the Sunnah. And these are many different sects in Islam. طيب. The Shaykh said, كل هذا داخل في الإيمان باليوم الآخر. All this is included in the belief in the last day. وذلك لأن الإنسان إذا مات دخل في اليوم الآخر. ولهذا يقال من مات قامت قيامته. فكل ما يكون بعد الموت فأنه من اليوم الآخر. Why is that? Because once a person dies, he has actually entered into the stage of the last day. This is why it is said, whoever dies, his resurrection has occurred already. Yani once you die, khalas. There's no coming back, there's no return. So it's as if the yawm al-qiyamah for you is already at the doorstep. Right? And so because everything that happens after death is part of the belief in the last day. إذن ما أقرب اليوم الآخر لنا ليس بيننا وبينه إلا أن يموت الإنسان ثم يدخل في اليوم الآخر الذي ليس فيه إلا جزاء العمل. اللهم استعان. He says, then how near is the last day to us? How near is it? Or it is to us? There isn't, because there isn't anything, there's no space, there's no gap between the last day and the person's death. As soon as someone dies, then he's already at the stage of the last day where there's only a reckoning and recompense, but there are no deeds. There'll be no more salah, no more siyam, everything will stop. So basically the last day, you know, we speak about the last day. The last day is as soon as one of us dies. Khalas. For that person, it's the last day. Now the general one where everyone will be resurrected, then that is of course Yawm al-Qiyamah. Hey. But for the individual, for him, khalas. It's over. إذن ولهذا يجب علينا أن ننتبه لهذه النقطة. The Shaykh said, this is why we have to be very mindful of this point here. This aspect. We need to be mindful of it. We need to be aware of it. ففكر أيها الإنسان. Reflect. Think. O human being. تجد أنك على خطر. You will find that you are upon danger. You are upon danger. لأن الموت ليس له أجل معلوم عندنا. Death does not have a fixed time with us. يعني we don't know. It's not like, you know, okay, if you know you were going to die in the year 2020, or let's make it history, 4038, then you know, you can plan your life somewhat according to that date. And you know, obviously the shaitan will tell someone, you know, just play games and have fun, and then just a year before you die, you know, the last you do hajj, and then, you know, pray in the masjid all the salawat, and khalas, you'll be fine. But no one knows when one will die. So then procrastinating, postponing, delaying is nonsensical. Because it could be tonight. But this is what we need. That's why, you know, the scholars say, yani every day and every night we must have tawbah. Assalamu alaikum. We must have tawbah every day and every night. Because you don't know. It could be the night where you will not wake up the next day. It could be the day where you will not go to sleep that night. So every night and every day, at all times, every time we disobey Allah and we need to return to Him and have a tawbah with all the conditions which we have mentioned 50 times already. Everyone should know them by now. Because it could be the last thing. So you don't want to leave this world in the state of disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَدْ يَكُونَ قَدْ يَخْرُجُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ وَلَا يَرْجِعُ لَيْهِ. Subhanallah, a person may leave his home and not return to it. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَى كُرْسِي مَكْتَبِهِ وَلَا يَقُمِنْ. And you may be sitting at your office chair and you won't even get up. This happens. وَقَدْ يَنَامُ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ وَلَكِنَّهُ يُحْمَلْ مِنْ فِرَاشِهِ لَصَرِيرِ غُسُلِهِ. And you may sleep on your bed, but you'll be carried straight from your bed to the bed on which they will wash you. You know, for the ghusl of the mayyit. وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ يَسْتَوْجِبُ مِنَّا أَن نَنْتَهِزَ فُرْصَةَ الْعُمُرِ بِالتَّوْبَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This requires of us to take advantage of the opportunity of a lifetime, which is tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانَ دَائِمًا يَسْتَشْعِرُ بِأَنَّهُ تَائِبٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That we should bring to mind always and continuously the feeling of repenting to Allah. الْإِنَابَ, returning to Allah. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Allah guides to him whoever returns to Allah. وَمُنِيب وَرَاجِعٌ وَمُنِيبٌ حَتَّى يَأْتِيهِ الْأَجَلُ وَهُوَ عَلَى خَيْرٍ مَا يُرَامُ. And so that way, in that condition, whenever your time expires, then you will be leaving, you'll be in an excellent condition. So how do you understand that? Look, the way you lead your life, that's the ulama say, the way, whatever you do a lot of in the dunya, very often you will die doing that thing. Whatever you do a lot of in the dunya, very often you will die in that state. And however you die, you'll be resurrected. Whatever you do a lot in the dunya, most likely you will die while doing that thing. Because you do it so often. So for example, if someone's whole life is, you know, Islam, reading a book, giving a talk, giving a lecture, giving da'wah, then the chance of him dying while in that, engaged in that act of worship are very, very likely and probable. Then someone whose whole life is, you know, smoking cigarettes and listening to music and watching wicked movies, then the chance of him dying in that state are also high. Why? He spends most of his time in these things. And out of the 24 hours, when your time comes, whatever you do the most, usually, you will hardly find someone whose whole life is playing games and then he dies in salah. It usually doesn't really happen. These are rare cases, you know, and we cannot really confirm them either. But the scholars say, you know, مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Whosoever lives upon a particular thing, he shall die upon it. Yani predominantly, of course, not for certainty. And however you die, you will be resurrected. So what are we doing in our times? The free times which we have, what do we do? What is occupying our time? A TV set? This shaitan that people bring to their home and pay sometimes 5,000, sometimes 6, sometimes more money for us. Imagine someone paying money for a shaitan to come home. Now of course, that if you told him, brother, can you lend me 6,000 riyals, I'll bring you shaitan to your house. You say, no way, akhi. So then what are you doing with this TV? Unless, and how rare are the exceptions, mashallah, yani you have a TV that only has one or only the Islamic channels. Not very common. Or at least that's how it begins. It begins with only then the Cartoon Network, then the next thing you know, you're worse than the other people. HBO and I don't know what other channels they have. And next thing you know, it's pornography at home. Who are watching the children? Are you sleeping? Or the father while the family is sleeping, and I get emails with all kinds of junk from people in Jeddah. You know, a girl, her father gave her a laptop as a gift, and the genius forgot to delete the images, and she saw images of her father with many women. Yes, wallahi, here in Jeddah, I get these emails. I'm the one who's like at the screen almost every other day. Emails that you won't believe. Women complaining about their wicked husbands. Husband said, you must watch this, you know, movie with me. He doesn't get turned on unless he and his wife watch, you know, some other strangers doing the yani ajeeb. That's the TV. It begins, it's the shaitan, you know, khutuwat al-shaitan, the steps of the shaitan. He's not going to come tell you, let's go do kufr. He will try to bring you into that slowly but surely. It begins with this TV set. The biggest enemy we have today in our household is this TV set. Why? It takes up the time. It takes up the time. It's a fitna. You cannot avoid the music. You cannot avoid the women. No way. And the internet has the same issue, but yani, we need to control ourselves. We ask Allah to forgive us. The TV, you can't control it. You cannot. Otherwise, all day, on, off. On, off. Every time a woman comes, you turn it off. You switch your channel, a worse woman, and the next channel was in the one that you were seeing there. How bad then, Yashin? And we have, you know, a nice bookshelf. You know, Sahih Bukhari, the Noble Quran, all of them sitting there collecting dust. This is what's taking the time. And then, you know, we don't know how to do Hajj, and we don't know how to do Salah, and we don't know anything. Why? Allah, we have the books, but no time to read. So this is, you know, nonsense. Throw this thing. Wallah, we know a family back in some other country, a sister who suffered with the children, and then she decided she's going to throw the TV out. I had the honor and the pleasure to do it with the world champion in bodybuilding, a Lebanese brother named Ali Mullah. If you see his pictures with Arnold Schwarzenegger, he used to be the champion, world champion, about a brother like this man. If he punches you once, you will probably not even remember you were punched. You will go straight to the graveyard. And we both took this TV to the, you know, the area in the back, and we crushed it. He grabbed it like this, but you know, I'm sitting there trying to kick it. Of course, look at me, I cannot really do much. He's the big guy, mashallah, until he destroyed the TV. We can't even leave it outside. Because you leave it outside, you know, some guys will walk by and say, oh, free TV. They'll pick it up, take it home, then the shayateen will go to the house. So we had to destroy it. Pulled the cord, broke the screen, and made sure that thing is not fixable and does not function anymore. And afterwards, her life changed. Kids now love to read. Their entertainment, I will tell you from, by Allah's grace and mercy, wallah, from my children. You know what their entertainment? You know what they fight over? The book. Now give me the book. That's the book. You know, I'm going to read. You know, this is when other kids want to watch TV, my kids, alhamdulillah, by Allah's grace, and with all the shortcomings I have, their fun is reading a book. Have you ever seen a child 3 years old, 4 years old, happy reading a book? Usually, please read the book. Give me a toy, give me something. Not that they don't play. They play, they have toys, cars, bikes, you name it. But because the TV is not there, this other time which usually is spent behind the screen is being utilized elsewhere. The closest thing to TV is a book. It has pictures and has stories and whatever. So they get to learn and benefit Islamic stories of the prophets with no pictures. Alhamdulillah, some of them have pictures. The scholars say this is an exception to the rule because you cannot take out all the pictures in the books. But the kids have that tendency, they have that potential. But we need to realize it. You keep that TV, you will never reach this point. And then they will develop a kind of disease, that the deficiency in attention. I don't know what it's called.
Addiction.
Something. Where you speak to the child and he doesn't understand. You speak to him and his mind is, you know, wandering around. They lose the ability to focus and concentrate because of a lot of TV. So these are studies actually made by the non-Muslims to affirm my speech. With this we conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. Sorry I went overboard today, but there's a good reason behind it. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبي وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. No class next week, nor the one after, or we will notify you via SMS inshaAllah. I have to call the adhan probably.